Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yo, America,
what's happening?
Soccer,
we got Olympics. We got
football.
Yep. Don't stop, Rob. Whoever's doing kicking it off, man, I love it. Welcome first to Talking Sports with the 12th man. I'm not falling forward to get an extra gold medal or anything like that. I'm just saying I'm just keeping it real, man. This is what happened, man. It's a beautiful day, man. Today, of course, is Monday, August the 15th, 2016. I'm your host, Andre. Let's check in with my other co-host. Hopefully they are, enjoying the medal counts, the Olympics, all that fun stuff. And first and foremost, got to kick it off with my man, JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I'm doing good. I've been getting as much Olympic coverage in as I can for the most part.
I was gonna check and make sure that, the good news, America, that JQ sounds like he's pretty calm. He didn't get too crazy for his birthday, man. So that's good to hear, sir.
Oh, well, I'm not going to say that. I just had enough recovery time.
He recovered, America.
I'm glad
I didn't have to
say,
like a five-day bender.
I'm glad I didn't have to go on the air and say how idiot co-host got liquored up. Yeah, no. No, bro. We don't play those
like
kind
Peyton
of games
Manning
over here.
To Mike Vanderjack.
Yes, sir. No. We're not going to do that.
Oh, man. Pull up with Steve Scarfini. He didn't take any crazy pictures of America either, so, man, that's always a good thing.
Oh, no.
Thank you, JQ.
Yeah, no problem.
He was not an embarrassment talking sports with a 12th man. So that other voice that you heard, cracking jokes, of course, is my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feel this evening, sir?
Man, doing fantastic. Down in Sarasota, Florida, Tampa Bay Buccaneers country. I'm spying on them a little bit, getting ready for our NFC South report on next week.
Good deal. And I hope everyone – I'm glad to hear that you're okay, man. I know, the flood is in Baton Rouge, man. So I hope the families and everything is good. Is that the case, Rob, and everything from your vantage point, sir?
Oh, yeah. Everything's good. Okay. Obviously, prayers go out. Baton Rouge obviously has a rough year this year. So definitely prayers going out to that community.
You know Rob Ball. I ain't know where that water going to get to him. And his folks in the high on the hill. Come on now.
The New Orleans area didn't get affected by that. But obviously our neighbors to the west, Baton Rouge. So definitely our prayers go out to those communities that are affected.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I said, we're definitely going to do that, as Rob said. So let's kind of keep it going here. Official Talking Sports with 12th Man. As always, let's fill out the particulars for everyone that wants to follow us and reach out. We are on Twitter. If you go to at the number 12, THMMA in sports, you'll find us in that aspect. We're also on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/talkingsports12, and you will find us in that aspect as well. So, gentlemen, let's kick it right off. The Olympics are here, and I don't think this is a huge surprise, but let's kind of kick it off. Usain Bolt, with a name like Bolt, yeah, man, you got to do your thing, man. So he wins 100, the golden one, the 100 meters. And I don't think there was any, obviously any doubt about that. But back-to-back, any thoughts about that? So, JQ, I'll let you kick off the show with that, your comments about Mr. Bolt here.
He's just a freak of nature. Like, what he's able to do, I mean, bad starts, slow starts, whatever, it don't matter. He's turning, smiling at the camera. That dude is ridiculous on the track. And like you said the best, I don't think there was any doubt that was going to happen with walking Justin Gatlin down like that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's pretty bad. It's that's just got to be disheartening for everybody else in the race. Like, if this dude's going to race, we just don't have a chance. And, you've got, I think, three or four other events coming up, too, that where he can win gold. So it ain't over yet. So, yeah, all you got to do is take your hat off. When you have all the other countries rooting for you because you just have transcended into a whole other stratosphere. Like, we was rooting for him, and he was beating an American, and we still wanted him to win. I mean, that's where Usain Bolt is on the stratosphere right now, and he delivered, so much props to him.
Go ahead, Rob, your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, first time ever we've seen a runner win the 100 meters three straight Olympics. So that's a back-to-back-to-back as far as gold medals in 100 meter. And Gatlin actually had him at the 800-meter mark, and all of a sudden you just saw Bolt hit another gear to finish strong. And as JQ mentioned, he looks back, he laughs, and he's not always fundamentally sound, but he's just got a
not
tremendous gift. A gift for speed, a God-given ability. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And as JQ mentioned, you're actually absolutely right. I mean, you can follow several social media sites where Americans are actually rooting for Usain Bolt to win over another American. And you don't find that
right.
in any other sport. In no
right.
other sport
mm-hmm.
have I seen that happen. So definitely hats off to him. Like I said, first time ever we've seen a runner win 100 meters three straight Olympics. So an amazing feat at 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I got to say that too. Just a little side note about that is that if you were watching the trials, whenever he walked on the court, it was like the whole stadium like clapping. He was a showman, and everyone. That's who you came to see. And it's kind of sad because I would say that I don't think he had that. He has a competitor to push him to that next level because he's just breezing through. I mean, back in the day, you had some intense, you know, battles between – you mentioned that Ben Johnson and Carlos, other things that kind of had – there's not a person that's pushing him right now because I think he could be even faster if he had a rival.
He could run an eight
something. I'm coming after you. Yeah.
Yes.
But right now,
I agree with you.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I got you. Boom. He's not really – because like you said, Rob, he's not fundamentally sound, and he's still killing folks. But if you had somebody that's like, man, I'm a legitimate threat, this guy could probably be pushed even more, man. So I'm just – I think he's kind of, it's one of those things where it's kind of like there's not a, we haven't seen the best of him yet, man, which is kind of scary if you think about that, man. But like I said, Rob, amazing. We're rooting for him, and this is you got to watch him, man. So it's just one of those things, man, for sure. I don't think anyone else want to comment on that or anything else. So that's just it's been good to watch that for sure.
Absolutely,
tremendous athlete.
All
watch.
Right, Rob. Yep, let's talk about the middle cat, Rob. Go ahead and kick that off, sir.
But real quick, USA still in the lead, so that's great news for our nation, our country. China in second place, Great Britain rounding out the top three as we speak in the medal count in these Olympics, which we got about a little less than a week to go.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to comment about that, JQ?
I think China getting ready to loosen that lead on the medal count on the second place because with all this track and field and these island nations in the United States, they ain't winning none of them races. So they might have a tenuous hold on that second spot is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, that might be it for them.
Right, for sure.
The gymnastics and weightlifting is over.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, it's a wrap. So let's talk about Simone Biles. She's crushing the field again, Rob, winning gold on vault, man. So anything you want to comment on that, sir?
Well, this is also, I mean, we made the comment about Usain Bolt. Obviously, with Simone Biles is doing is tremendous. He's talking about a four-time world champion. She won all around as well, and she just won a vault as well. So, I mean, tremendous. I mean, I don't think she's getting as much attention as she probably deserves. So with Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt, what he's doing, but also what she's doing is phenomenal, helping the women win all around gold in gymnastics as well. She won a personal all around in gymnastics as well. So phenomenal. If I'm not mistaken, I think she has four golds in these Olympics as well. Hats off to her for doing a fabulous job as well.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, it's a team all around her, individual all around, and she won the floor and she won the vault, but she slipped today on the beam and she picked up a bronze, and that's the only thing holding it back.
She
had to win 5 for 5 on the gold. I mean, but still, don't get me wrong, 4 golds are ridiculous. They're amazing. She's just she's also in another stratosphere, and I was reading an article about it, like they're in that Olympic bubble, and she's like, after she's been so focused on, going for all these goals and now getting ready to be over, that she was like, she has no idea what she's ready to walk out into in regular life now, given what she's just done, because she's been in this Olympic bubble. And I hope that happens for her, because she seems like she's a pretty good chick, and she is fantastic on that floor. And she may be back in 4 years, which is scary.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She's young enough. She's only 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be talking about her. I'm pretty sure we'll definitely talk about her as far as defending that as well, too, man. So, yeah, she's just getting started, man, which is crazy, too. So, yeah, let's keep an eye on her. I don't know if she'll ever get the Michael Phelps thing, but, yeah, she's going to pretty much be dominant for a couple of years is what it seems like.
Let's
keep it moving here,
she
guys.
She ain't nowhere near 20. She ain't nowhere near 23 gold medals.
I know.
Yeah. But she's a four-time world champion.
JQ.
JQ. She's
she's
been winning world championships since she was 15, 16.
I got you. How many world championships do you think Michael Phelps has won?
Plenty of them.
Okay, thank you.
What I'm saying, though, and now she's 19, there's one Olympic chick, she's like 41 years old. I'm not saying she's going to go that long, but there's a chick out there that's 41 years old. I mean, so...
Man, that chick got one more Olympics to her in Tokyo, and just she's over. I was like, that's not gonna happen.
Oh man, we're having some fun here. So let's talk about a kind of interesting issue here, and this is something that, and it's weird because this is kind of hard for us to talk about. But USA men's basketball team, and I don't know. Like I said, they kind of started out the gate pretty fast, but in the last couple of games, it hasn't been as easy. And I guess the question is, Rob, do you think there's a coaching problem with the basketball team, or what would you kind of assess what's happening right now for U.S. men's basketball?
Well, I think obviously we got a great group of coaches with this USA basketball team. We might have too many great coaches with this USA basketball team. I think the problem here that we're having is that I don't think our coaches have come together and put together a solid offensive strategy for this Olympic team. And I think they're struggling to put together. When you look at these other countries that we're going against, man, the ball, the movement is awesome. Guys are cutting, they're passing the ball. I mean, they're actually running a clinic on, we're just getting by off of talent. But as far as playing the game of basketball, these other countries are running a clinic on us. And I don't know. I mean, this was actually an Olympics. I thought we were by far and away much better than the competition, because I thought the rest of the world actually were a little bit down. But like I said, Australia is moving the basketball tremendously well, France, Serbia. And even though we beat Venezuela by about 44 points, I thought we didn't play well even in that game, in my personal opinion. So I don't think our coaches are pushing the right buttons with this particular team. And they better get it together quickly here going into the quarterfinals.
You need players. Go ahead, JQ. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to be full-blown controversial, so you just have to bear with me. But the reason why I don't think it has anything to do with coaches, I mean, I hear you, Rob, but I don't think that's what it is. They got the creme de la creme of coaches on that staff. The problem is that they don't have an a-hole on that team, and that's really the problem. They don't have a Kobe Bryant. They don't have a Chris Paul. They don't have a Michael Jordan. They don't have anybody on that team right now that's going to hold people accountable in the fourth quarter and get that look and take over and say, hey, listen, we was winning. Mm-hmm. What happened? Get back to it. They don't have that guy. And that's just really what it comes down to. And if you look at the makeup also of that roster, I mean, we got like the best, you know, playground basketball Olympic team. But, you know,
what they're playing.
Yeah, and that's costing them in the fourth quarter because they're lackadaisical. But that's what's happening to them. They don't have the a-hole on that team. And that's what I'm saying. That's part of what you miss with Kobe, even if he's not giving you a lot of points. They're going to call a huddle, and the coaches ain't going to have to say nothing. He's going to cuss them out. Like, what are you doing? Why is this team even in this game with us? That's what Michael Jordan would do. That's what Chris Paul would do, and a lot of people don't know that. Russell Westbrook would do. You need somebody on that team that's going to be a dog, you know, and come in and take over and hold people accountable and go out and just act a fool and always on the court at that point in time. And we don't have that guy on that team right now, and I think that's what's happening in the fourth quarter for them, where they just aren't able to have that killer instinct and keep their foot on the opponent's neck. And if somebody don't step into that role, this is what all the games is going to be like in the middle round.
And they're playing too much individual basketball. There's no ball movement. There's no flow. Too much individual basketball. Too much relying on talent. And that's the part where I think the coaches haven't pushed the right buttons. But like I said, these are all great coaches, but I just don't think they've pushed the right buttons with this unit. And Kevin Durant, this guy's supposed to be one of the top three players in the world. He's got a rise
on
occasion. And
yeah, but you know
he's
got that dude.
In a series. He fell apart against Golden State in the playoffs. He's got to prove that he's a top three player in the world. He's got to do it in these Olympics in these next three games. Hopefully,
but
they
you
have
know,
games.
But you know that dude is not that guy. Mental makeup
he is,
in terms of getting, I'm saying in terms of on the court ability, absolutely. But getting in people's
mm-hmm.
face and holding them accountable and just being a dog, like you have to have a dog on your team. Like Kevin Garnett was a dog for the Celtics. I talked about Kobe, that kind of dog on your team. We don't have one, and that's the point. Kevin Durant has the talent. But he don't have the mentality or the makeup to be that kind of dog like that just overall. Duke can ball, don't get me wrong. It's ridiculous. Paul George don't either. Paul George can ball. But he don't have that mentality to hold people accountable. They need to be held accountable and stop playing that. They play all-star basketball is what they're trying
now,
to do.
I agree with everything you're saying, but this is the time for him to rise to the occasion. This is the time for him to be that dog. I agree everything what you're saying, but he has to rise up and be that guy.
Yeah, I think Paul George, if it ain't Kevin Durant, it's Paul George. Paul George got a lot of line with it, too. Yeah, we over the leg injury. Like, he's balled out enough where we know that if he come out and had that eye of the tiger, that dog in him, he can also do it for the U.S. if Kevin Durant. But it's got to be one of them, too. And I give you Kevin Durant absolutely should be number one in line to step up and grab that mantle.
And Carmelo Anthony has got to stop playing Charmin tissue defense.
So I got to ask, guys, and this honestly, you know, I thought Kyrie kind of had a dog in him too, JQ. I was kind of surprised because that's one guy who you figured would, you know, would at least have that after coming from a pretty impressive finals. But, you know, I'm with you. I don't know if the team is kind of made up a certain way or they're not. I mean, obviously, like you said, Robert, it's they're talented, but I don't think they're on the same agenda as far as, you know, this is, you know, this is what we're trying to accomplish. And maybe I could be wrong with that too, but you know, and I would say this, guys, do you think that the gap is closing between the teams between now and then? I mean, or there's a couple things that you know, probably happen. I mean, maybe we're kind of hitting that crescendo, too. Like, you know, we're not – they don't have the exact same talent, but they're kind of closing the gap on certain things as well. What do you think about that, Rob?
Well, there's a couple of things. Kyrie Irving, phenomenal basketball player, obviously helped Cleveland win the world championship. He came up big for them in the finals and really most of the playoffs. But I think in Olympic basketball, I think the problem with Kyrie Irving and the point guards overall on this Olympic team, they're ball-dominant point guards. They're not point guards that just run an offense, get a flow going.
Yeah,
they're ball-dominant point guards. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's the problem that they're running into if you've seen these Olympic games. I mean, there's just no ball movement. Like I said, they're ball-dominant point guards. They just come down dribbling and everybody's playing one-on-one basketball, and that's the problem that they're having. And like I said, that's what's keeping these other teams in it. Like I said, the rest of the world is actually down. I mean, 12 years ago, I think the world was actually at their peak, where we actually had a lot of countries were really putting out some really good basketball players are right pretty much on the same level, pretty close to the same level. The rest of the world is actually down right now. I think right now we're just not – we don't have a cohesive system for this particular Olympic team. Talent-wise, by far the best.
I think the problem is we don't have our best players. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just don't think we have our best players. Like, if you take over, you know, even if you give Spain Marc Gasol, a healthy Marc Gasol, but you're going to give me a healthy LeBron and Curry, and I take away, like, DeRozan and Lowry, they replace them with LeBron and Curry, that makes them leaps and bounds better. So I think that's part of the problem is that we don't have our best, and we can't be so arrogant to say if our best top two players don't go, we're going to cakewalk people. And that's what we thought was going to happen, and it's not happening. So let's also, you know, take that in consideration that we down a great handicap in terms of two guys sitting around, you know, getting on stage with Drake and cutting the food. You know, go play some ball for your country, bro.
Well, I think it goes back to Kevin Durant too. This is a guy supposed to a couple of years ago he was the league MVP and arguably the third best player in the NBA right now. Supposedly, he's got to be that guy that just takes this team, take the bull by the horn, and take over and be the leader of this team. He's got to rise up and show that he can be that kind of player.
I hope that Robbie not throwing any shade for Kevin Durant, man. That's a whole other conversation for sure, man. We'll come back to that for sure. Let's talk about this, guys. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show. And apparently Michael Phelps has done a lot of work, guys, and he is retiring after 23 gold medals. Yeah, man. go ahead, JQ. What were your thoughts on this particular subject?
I don't believe it till I was seeing him in that pool in Tokyo. Because you're telling me you got a chance to get the 25 gold medals? Like 25 gold medals, it just rolls off the tongue better. You know, 25 gold medals and get to like 30 medals total. Oh, yeah. I think he can be talked into it after he takes like a year off, you know, run around with the kid for a little bit, go to all the Ravens games and be a motivational speaker. That's going to wear off in about a year and a half. He's going to be ready to get back in that pool. So I believe it when I see it in 4 years in the pool in Tokyo. But what he's done, he don't have to come back. Don't get me wrong. He has nothing left to prove. I told you last week, and all he did was go out and keep destroying people after our call in the pool. So I feel like Michael Phelps is still that guy. I just don't believe that he's retired, though.
Rob Ford.
Well, yeah, I guess we have to wait and see. He contemplated retiring after the London Games, and obviously he came back for these and did another phenomenal job this season. Obviously, he'll be 35 when in Tokyo, so it'll be a little bit more challenging for the time, maybe catching up with him. So we'll see. I think if he can't be at a high level, then obviously I don't see him in Japan. But if he can come close to where he is now, I think you have that chance where he'll come back. Because he did contemplate retiring after London as well 4 years ago.
Yeah, I know he did. He was chilling. And then he got to be about a year after he started chilling. Was like, you know what, man, this is just not what I'm used to and what I want to do. I think he might have the same itch. I can't say for sure, but, you know, you just somebody that good and wired that kind of way, yeah, I think he'll take a nice break. But, you know, in 2 years, with 2 years to go to train for the Olympics, I think you're going to find him doing a whole lot of laps in the pool he ain't going to tell nobody about.
Mm-hmm.
And he could definitely do some stuff like you said, JQ. Yeah, if he can say, you know what, I can get 30 gold medals. Like I could be the greatest ever, ever, ever. Not that he's not in that category, but, you know, something that.
Right.
I got to tell you, I got to show this. Yeah, something crazy. Yeah, he can add on 25, 30, whatever he wants to add, and be like, yeah, y'all will never catch me, ever, suckers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this real quick before we move to the next. Let's talk about this. This was a pretty interesting story. I'd like to share it with you, too. Even at 10 years old, it was clear that Michael Phelps was actually destined for greatness. But because he had the – in 1995, he actually set the world record for the fastest butterfly at his class. But he wasn't the best 10-year-old swimmer at the time. You know who that belonged to? Chris Humphrey. Yeah. Did you see that story?
Sorry.
He was better than Michael Phelps. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Yeah, him and he actually was better than Michael Phelps as well as Ryan Lochte too. Yeah. So just one of those things I thought was pretty. I was reading that, so I was like, wow. So he actually holds a lot of those records in the state of Minnesota. But then what happened with him was that he saw Michael Jordan. He was like, man, Michael Jordan, you know, that's my guy. So he picked up basketball, and kind of the rest is history, man. But that's pretty interesting to say the least, man. Right now, go ahead. You kind of stole my thunder, JQ. But yeah, what do you think about that?
I thought you were asking the question. Cool. Yeah, no, I thought you were asking me a question. You know your trivia self. You might still be in trivia mode, so I didn't know you were asking me a question. You know, so I was going with the trivia part of it, so I didn't mean to step on your toes, bro. But, yeah, I did see that arc. I thought that was pretty interesting, you know, the fall from that kind of grace, you know, and you best be known for, you know, marrying Kim Kardashian for, like, 34 hours. Like, that's pretty tough, you know. That's a pretty tough fall for grace, though. And don't you?
Yeah, I got you. I'm with you, though. But, yeah, like, and that's interesting how, you know, he had, like, 18-something or 12-something records, man, which are pretty tripped out in that. And, you know, I don't think he's, like, the greatest in basketball. But, you know, hey, all right, you know, so it could have been a different story, man. And you talk about, like, you know, somebody like Tim Duncan, you know, opposite direction. His – you know,
he was a great swimmer too.
Yep. So anyway, that was my little 2 second thought about that. All right, let's move on here. I know we've got about 5 minutes or so. Opposite from the U.S. basketball men's team, the women's basketball team is dominating the competition. So Rob, what are your thoughts about that, man?
Yeah, man, I don't think they've had a game under 40, 50 points. They're just Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, Maya Moore, Simone Augustus, LSU. Sylvia Fowles, LSU. Brittany Griner, Yeah.
My more Atlanta. Plus,
yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right. And so, yeah, they're just dominating the competition. And once again, they're playing with great flow, which we're not seeing from the men's team. I mean, a great execution. And Gino Auriemma, I mean, hats off to him. Phenomenal basketball coach. I know he gets the talent in Connecticut, and he's got a talented women's basketball team here as well. But you got to give him credit for his coaching ability as well. I mean, they're getting the job done tremendously. They're going to walk away hands down with the gold medal.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, they're clowning. Del Dezon, she's also ridiculous, and also the lady that plays for the Dream that's also on the Olympic team. They just are stacked from top to bottom, and they are there. Yeah, there you go. And you just have to just giving people the business hand. I mean, it's fun to watch them get their shine. You know, when the men struggle, I do enjoy that for them. It's rare that we celebrate them like that, even though they are deserving of it. But the WNBA just hasn't taken off like that. But like you said, they're doing what we expect the men to do, but they are just clowning people and acting a fool. Everything but the dunking is pretty much what's happening.
Yep. Call. Interesting point here. I know, Rob, thanks for putting this pop note in here about Adele turning down the invite to perform at the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you want to kind of, you know, talk about that as well, man. So I appreciate that. So go ahead, man.
Well, it's good. I mean, who turns down that opportunity to get that kind of limelight around the world? And I think Adele's point is she didn't feel like she was that type of artist that could showcase in the Super Bowl. She says she can't dance. And, you know, all she is a singer. So she didn't feel like that she was that type of artist to do a Super Bowl. Even though, obviously, you don't get paid to perform at the Super Bowl, the amount of exposure you get in return is tremendous. And but she obviously turned it down. So the NFL, I'm sure, will have people lining up to say yes to him. But she was the first one that was asked, and she said no.
JQ?
Yeah, but I mean, it's two parts to it, right? Because she's freaking Adele. Like, I mean, we all know what she's capable of. Like, we don't need to see her, you know, get on the stage in the Super Bowl. Like, you know, I was on the fence about this Adele, but she can sing. Like, we already know that. So I get what you're saying, but she don't necessarily need it to that point. And I get her point is the other piece of it is know your limitations. She said, I'm not Beyonce. I'm not getting out here in this black, you know, get up. We ain't going to have no formation. We ain't going to do none of that. I'm thinking behind this piano and this mic, and all we're going to do is sing. And then people ain't going to like that, so why would I do it to them? Hey, listen, I know how I appreciate her knowing how to stay in her lane. And I agree. Most people don't turn it down, but if you feel like that's a limitation for you, you don't want to, and you're freaking Adele and you don't really need it, then you just, you know, be cool. Hats off to her. Don't give us a boring Super Bowl show.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be boring. I don't think she needs it, like Rob said.
Yes,
too.
It would.
I'm with you. I mean, she well, you there's a way you can. I mean, she has. I'm sure, like Katy Perry. We didn't expect her to pull out freaking Missy. And I'm like, yeah. But I'm saying, you know, there's always how you can spice it up, man. But I'm with you. You need more of an artist per se, you know. And I'm not saying it'd be the worst ever, you know, because there's ways how to make her appealing too, you know, like I said, but I'm with you in that. I don't think she's got a full show in her, but you know, a couple minutes or so, do something kind of, you know, I don't know. There's ways how to make that happen. So that's the entertainment side for me that I'm speaking on that, you know, point. But anyway, I digress. Rob, we got about 90 seconds. Go ahead and set us up for fantasy football and get ready for the OT portion as well, sir.
Well, she could have probably added some dancers to the show to kind of liven it up a little bit. There's something she could have done, but obviously like JQ said,
sure.
You know, your limitations, you don't want to do it. Hey, move on. But really quick, we still got a lot of stuff we hope that we can cover in the OT portion. We got a lot of football to get to, pro and college. And also next week we'll be back on, of course, on Monday night, the same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Unfortunately, we're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We can't give you this portion of our show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow. You get to hear the rest of our football coverage that we have coming up, so you don't want to miss that, especially for our diehard football fans. Fantasy football, our first draft this Sunday night. If you're in league number two, we're going to have a draft 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our fans that's in the El Paso, Texas area. Good night, people.
Wow. Shout out to El Paso. Same class as San Diego. I'll let y'all next week.
Yeah, we have some people in the league from El Paso, so.
Okay. I just was out. I was unprepared. I was gonna say shout out El Paso. I can't stand up.
We are officially heading into the OT portion as we always do. So, man, let's kick this off, man. We got a lot of things to discuss here, a lot of good topics. I'm really upset that Rob didn't put Tim Tebow in there, but that's a whole other conversation. But let's talk about which team has the
come
best
on, come
uniform
on, come on.
In the NFC. Hey, it wasn't live, man. At least I got it in there. Hey, so
you don't get to
series,
squeeze
though,
it in, JQ. You know you got to squeeze it in.
Man, I'm trying to believe, Dre. I'm trying to believe.
that was fun. Firstly, it started out something kind of unique, but hey, anyway, there's a way to kind of fit it in there. I'd make some fun too. But let's talk about this, guys. Actually, seriously, what team do you think has the best looking uniforms in the NFC? If you would say that.
Man, I'm just trying to figure out why we have this conversation about what the
best. I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
A lot of fans like talking about this kind of thing.
Okay,
I'm
just gonna say something outlandish because I like outlandish stuff. And you know what? I like the old Rams with the blue and the yellow on the shoulder. I used to love those Rams jerseys. Those blue ones was hard. You had the electronic football. You had the blue ones and with yellow paint on it. Stop playing. All right, I'm all about it. I'm gonna go with the LA Rams throwback.
Rob.
Well, if you ask my wife this question, my wife loves the Seattle Seahawks uniforms. So she thinks they have the best in the league. I think it's a little too far out there. I may sound like a homer, but I love the black and gold of the New Orleans Football Saints.
I knew
the
you were
going to
say that.
Love the fleur-de-lis. And they're coming all the way from France. And so I got to go with the history there. I love the Saints uniform. I got to go with the black and gold.
Come on, man. See, that wasn't even an objective answer.
No, I truly believe that.
It wasn't objective. No, you don't.
I truly believe
America. America, his favorite colors are the creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the Pirate. That's
ooh,
his favorite color.
Yeah,
those
out there.
Those are hard, though. If we had a conversation for worst uniforms, Tampa Bay's got the worst uniforms in the NFL, period.
No, man. That white one with the dark
one.
Numbers. Hey. Yeah,
Tampa Bay's
got
the worst uniforms.
I like that
worst uniforms in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man,
I really like that. I love that creamsicle.
And I'm in Buccaneer country.
You have to be careful, Rob.
Yeah, you tripping. That creamsicle was hard. I just wasn't ready for it.
I got to say, I was a huge fan of the Cardinals uniform, man. I loved, like, the black ones. I thought those were pretty hot. But I'm with you. I'm with your wife, man. I did like the Seahawks, man. That's just kind of different, man. But, you know, you got to go with, you know, your team, you know, as far as, you know, the Falcons. I love the red, man. So, even the throwbacks, man, that's kind of the ones that I appreciate. So, man, with the red and the actual silver, man, beautiful, beautiful. Anyway, that's my little secondary thing. So, we're not going to let Rob get with his freaking Saints and the Florida Leaf, man. So, you know, whatever, dude. Let's talk about this. Eddie Lacy, I'm going to get off that subject real quick. Eddie Lacy said that he's feeling really explosive after the off-season weight loss. And I got to concur, man, even though, we had some talk about how he got that weight loss. But, Rob, what's your comments about Eddie Lacy's comments there?
I don't want to – I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this topic because I know we got a lot of stuff I want to cover, but – I'll just say this, hats off for him for whatever he did this off season to get the weight down.
Oh.
He's tremendous talent. And, you know, obviously he lives in the New Orleans area. He's from New Orleans. And, you know, he got the best food in the world. So for him to have that kind of focus, that kind of determination to get his weight down 2 years ago, his rookie season had a phenomenal season. So, you know, hats off for him for whatever he did to get in better shape. That was a charge that Mike McCarthy put on him, and so hats off to him. So I'm looking forward to seeing if it paid off or not.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, you know that he just made us stop listening to him when he said we have the best food in the world. This dude is over here clowning for New Orleans. He has made the story totally about New Orleans. I forgot we were talking about Eddie Lacy. So, dude, did he clown for?
He turned down the jambalaya and the catfish and the red beans
and
rice.
No, oh my God. I'm talking about you. I did P90X when I was 12. He said he did 90X. What kind of football player is he? Yeah, you were clowning, Rob. Boy, you was going in on it. I mean, but still, you know, he should be explosive. I mean, he lost like 50 pounds. I mean, you know, he lost a midget. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he should feel like he could run a little faster. I mean, it is what it is. Sorry, small people. I don't mean to pit anybody. But, you know, 50 pounds or so is, you know, a small child. So that's a lot of weight to lose. He should feel more explosive.
JQ, I got to tell you, if there's any way that Rob can connect it out with New Orleans or something about a player, he's gonna make it work. So you just got to put up with that, man. You know, what,
as
Rob?
Much as JQ talk Rob? About Cincinnati and Ohio every weekend, I don't clown on him. Come on, man.
It ain't every week now. Don't put me out there like that, Rob.
It ain't every week.
It ain't every week.
He lets you talk about Cincinnati and Ohio every week.
Yeah, and you know what? It's always bad.
We even had to talk about the Hall of Fame game because it was in Akron last week.
Yeah, and it was bad. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
We could leave some good stuff I can brag about. They're killing me.
Oh man. That's true, though. But at least JQ is kind of balanced, though. Rob be like, hey, check this out. Shout out to you, New Orleans. Best food in the world. And blah, blah, blah. That's my fan.
Hey, that's an incredible compliment, man. You can turn on a jambalaya and red beans and rice on a regular
basis.
That dude is hashtag all in. You can't tell him nothing about nothing, New Orleans, bro.
It ain't nothing you can tell him.
Because
Snapchat, he'd probably get it in there. Periscoping right here from New Orleans, he would do it if he could. Oh, man. Oh,
that
God.
Needs to be your
all
name,
right.
Your Twitter handle name, All In. All In 305 or whatever.
He's getting paid, man.
Yes, Nola
will be giving him checks, man. Oh, man. So let's figure out how Rob can turn this into something about Chip Kelly and Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick. Does he work out in New Orleans over there, Colin Kaepernick? What's up? What's up, Rob? What about this?
No. But all for real, this is a horrible quarterback situation for the 49ers. I mean, Blaine Gabbert was 4 out of 10. Played 4 series this past weekend. 4 out of 10.
Man.
He got a touchdown in there. He played 4 series. He only averaged 1 completion per series. So, I mean, if that's your starting quarterback, 49ers in trouble. And I know we're getting ready to go into our NFC West predictions. And I'm just going to give you a sneak preview. 49ers are going to finish last in the NFC West.
Man, your sneak previews are hilarious.
That's not a sneak preview, Rob. That's a straight up like, just right into it. Go ahead, JQ.
He hit San Diego this week. He hit them this week. But yeah, I mean, it's just a dumpster fire. What's happening anyway? You know my favorite term. It's like, yeah, you're a long ways away from Joe Montana and Steve Young. They are not walking through that door. So I'm all for it. I mean, it cost us 2 Super Bowls. So I'm gonna get my Cincinnati reference here. So I'm definitely not rooting for the 49ers. I hope they don't win any games. I will applaud that. Even if the Bengals don't make the playoffs, that's how bad my hate is.
Wow.
Hey guys, so I know we're gonna talk about the NFC West, and that was a good segue too. So have you guys been catching any of the Hard Knocks with the Rams? Have you guys been watching that? Yes, no, just real quick.
I have not
caught any of those.
Okay, I haven't.
You should catch. It's pretty interesting, right? Because you know, one thing, there's a quote. None of you heard the quote. They're clowning because they said that the show should come on at 7-9 because that's what Jeff Fisher's record has been, man. So that's my little, you know, shot, man. But it's pretty hilarious though, man. Because Jared Goff, man.
Jeff Fisher has pictures
you,
of somebody.
Man,
did you see the other one? Did you see the other quote? When dude brought the girl back to the hotel, to the dorm room, he got kicked, he got cut from the team, and Jeff Fisher addressed him. I just saw the quote. And he said, yeah, we cut him because that's some 7-9, some 8-8 type of stuff. And everybody got on Twitter and clowned him and said, but you are 7-9, 8-8.
Yeah, he had an interesting quote, man. So you should, like, you guys, I mean, I know it's like you're about your team, but that was a pretty interesting episode, man. So I was impressed with that. So if you're a football fan, you should definitely check that out, man, because he was kind of clowning that as well, man. And, yeah, he was making a lot of jokes. But anyway, Rob, let's talk about the preview here for the NFC West. You got the Cardinals, Rams, 49ers, Seahawks. Right within that, I'm going to let you kick it off and give us your sneak preview, man. Go ahead.
Well, really quick, for the sake of time, we got a lot of topics trying to get to. Number one, obviously Arizona. I think they're going to be explosive offensively. I think defensively, with the acquisition of Chandler Jones, they're still going to be good. So I still think they're the premier team in that division. I think Seattle's not far behind, still at number two. The Rams, Todd Gurley in defense, will keep them competitive, but they'll be number three in the division. We already mentioned the 49ers are going to be poo. They're going to be last.
Jeff Fisher's not happy with that, Rob. They said 10-16, bro. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. The same exact order, and the reason why between Arizona and Seattle is what you just mentioned. I think Chandler Jones is the Russell Wilson protection and elixir for Arizona to keep him in the pocket and keep him down and be the difference in one of those games for Arizona to get home field advantage in the NFC. So I agree with you. All those same teams, same order.
JQ, are you still a fan of what – I know it's been a rough offseason, but you still okay with quarterback play with your boy, Carson Palmer, with the Cardinals, man? Because that was a pretty rough game for him as he exited, man. So you still think he's got enough, man, to do his thing over there, man?
Yeah, no, that was pretty rough for him. Don't get me wrong. But I still think they have enough talent, especially with that wide receiving core. And you got to think they got David Johnson and Chris Johnson. And, okay, we bring Andre Ellington in for passing situations. They're loaded. Like, he just needs to not have that game. And until then, he was having a pretty good year. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I can't really judge him because every time they made it, he was hurt or something ridiculous happened. So I can't tell if it's just jinx or because that one was a bad one. That's the worst I've seen him play. But is he going to do that again? I don't know.
Gotcha. Rob, let's kick off the we got about 4 minutes here. Let's talk about the NFC North, Bears, Lions, Packers, Vikings. Kick it off, Rob.
I tell you what, I struggled going back and forth on between the Vikings and the Packers. I think it's going to be a really close race between those two teams. But I'm going to stick with the Vikings repeating as division champs. I think defensively, I think they're going to be a little bit better offensively as well, getting a little bit more weapons on the perimeter with Treadwell. Uh-huh. I'm going to go with the Vikings squeaking by the Packers to win the division. Packers second.
Ooh.
I like the Bears and John Fox to move up to three. I think the Lions losing Calvin Johnson, I think they're going to be a little down offensively. I think they're being last.
Calvin Johnson. Go ahead, JQ.
We're going to be different here because I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, and I'm just going to go with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I know the Vikings did it last year. Jordy Nelson is healthy. It's definitely the Packers. I think the Vikings are still up there. That defense is going to still be pretty good. Andrew Pearson doesn't look to be slowing down. I'm concerned about Treadwell. He's not been having the best of camp and OTAs. But I'm going to keep Minnesota, too. I'm going to go with the Lions and Marvin Jones being better than people think he is and stepping into that void. He's not Calvin Johnson, don't get me wrong. But with him and Tate, they might still can squeak out some wins, but that's just a tough division. And any team that has Jay Cutler as its quarterback, I would not pick to be a finish better than fourth. So I'm going to pick the Bears last because I just have zero confidence in him. So the Bears fourth.
I agree, JQ, 100%, bro. 100%. Oh, man. We got 2 minutes here, man. I just want to let JQ, your AFC North, do it, bro. You got it, man. Your division.
Oh, well, you start with this. I think preview of Cleveland being last. I think Baltimore just gotten too 0-2. I'm not sure if Flacco is recovering. I know Steve Smith isn't. Come pick them third. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, too, because of Le'Veon Bell being suspended and the loss of Martavius Bryant. And real quiet like Ladarius Green is not playing, and they don't know when he's coming back. And I'm going to go with my Bengals number one. I think they can do it, but those two top two teams I think can be interchanged, and I really couldn't. I'd be mad, but I can't deny it.
That's totally objective, America. Go ahead, bro. I like it.
Man. See, if there was me, America, they would be dogging me out, man, if there was me putting my team number one.
I'm going to go Steelers-Bengals. I'm going to go Steelers-Bengals, then, Ravens-Browns. That's me. Go ahead, Rob. You got 2 minutes, or you got a minute. You got to finish it up and end the show, man.
I agree with Andre's order. I think the Steelers, even with Le'Veon Bell's four-game suspension, I think they'll be able to get by. I think the Bengals are unfortunately getting a lot of injuries here so far in training camp. Yeah, so I think they'll be number two in the division. Obviously, Baltimore, number three. Cleveland, we just don't know what kind of year RG3 is going to have, so I got to put them
yes,
last in the division. So really quick, we'll be back on the air on next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern time. We're still not getting to our SEC and ACC predictions, so I do apologize for that. Hopefully we'll be able to get it in on next week. We keep putting this off from week to week, so hopefully we'll still get it in before the season starts. So definitely join us to get that coverage on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Don't forget, Sunday night, fantasy football draft. For those of you all in league number two, the draft will be Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m.